Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. The economy affects everything in our lives. Let's just kind of start right there. Healthcare, it's going to obviously affect your jobs. It's going to affect your pocketbook in every way. It affects your family. It affects education. So the economy is a big focus on this program here. And we're lucky in Montana, I think, to have the Bureau of Business and Economic Research. And if you've ever clicked on, now I've done this and said this several times, but you will get, if you like this kind of stuff, and even if you don't, you're going to learn things. You will get lost in all the things that they cover there when we talk about our economy. Well, guess what? This is the 50th anniversary of the Economic Outlook Seminar Series. They've been doing it for a lot of years. It's coming to 9 communities. It's from the BBER. We're going to peel into that today. And the topic for discussion here, the main topic is Montana's AI future. Artificial intelligence. What will it do to the state? How are you going to staff and how are you going to run your business? Got that today on Voices of Montana. As we talk about their Economic Outlook Seminar Series for the BBER, and that's the Bureau of Business and Economic Research, bber.umt.edu, they're going to go to 9 communities across Montana, and every one of those communities is going to be reflective, I think, of the region that they're going to be in. So they'll be talking about agriculture in Miles City and Sydney, and they'll be talking about the forest industry in western Montana, but healthcare affects us all. This, again, we've talked frequently about, I think, in my mind, you know, get to these, especially if you're a decision maker. And how do you run your business without having good information and making good decision. So this is upcoming. I'll give you that schedule, but let's get to our guest here to talk about this. And it's a pleasure to welcome back to the program. Now he's research director and he's no longer the director of the Bureau of Business and Economic Research, Dr. Patrick Barkey. We'll ask him what happened, but we know what happened. Jeff Michael came along and Patrick Barkey is going to retire in June. And October, named Jeff Michael the new director of the Bureau of Business and Economic Research. They're both with us here. First of all, Director Michael, how are you, Jeff?
Doing great, Tom.
Thank you for being here. And Patrick, how's things going for you?
Good morning. Warming up on a cold morning here in Missoula.
Nice way to go out. 50th anniversary of this Economic Outlook Seminar Series. And you've been around for, well, I'm not going to count the number, but since 2008. So thank you both for being here. First of all, let's go with Jeff. Jeff, congratulations on this new position here. Talk about, who you are and where you come from, and why you're here at the University of Montana.
Well, why I'm here is pretty easy. The Bureau of Business and Economic Research is just has a fantastic legacy, and it's really known across the nation for its work and the way it engages and supports the economy of the state. So I came from Sacramento, California. I've been working in the Central Valley in Northern California on economic research and outlook and economic development in that area. Was well aware of the work of the Bureau up here in Montana from my 15 years in that environment. Between the stable foundation of the Bureau and just all the wonderful things about living in Montana, I threw my hat in the ring and was really happy to be hired and able to join the Bureau this year.
They do just a ton of great work, and congratulations on that. And Dr. Barkey, what makes Jeff the right position or right man for this job?
Well, I think the important thing about our center is that we communicate research. And Jeff does a great job of that. His research and his expertise in housing, in particular, is very attractive, very relevant for us. But he's someone with a tremendous amount of experience, and really someone that can really just jump right into the job. And that's why he made the cut.
Congratulations again on that. And there's still it's kind of nice. You come in October, and then you get right to work on this Economic Outlook Seminar Series. I'm going to start with some questions regarding it, and then, of course, we'll talk about where they're going to be. I think you start in Helena on the 28th, if I'm not mistaken. I'll get to that schedule in a bit. Director Michael, Jeff Michael, this series in and of itself, when people come to this, you know, what do you think they're going to take away? What do you think is going to highlight, stay in their minds as they go back to work and try to put this information to the benefit of their business?
Yeah, well, it's really going to be exciting for me to participate in this for the first time. I'm really grateful to be able to get here in time for it and learn from Pat about the history and what people are looking for from this. And I think part of what they're going to hear is, you know, people hear a lot about the economy and the media, but most of it tends to come from a big macro national perspective. And, you know, you don't get a lot of Montana information on that or interpretation of what that means for the local economy. So I think that they're going to come away, you know, with some more current understanding and information about what's going on here locally and how these broader trends translate here into Montana economy, both around the state and in their local communities.
Patrick, I'm going to ask you the same question, too. You know, what is the real benefit in your mind for those people who come and take? I mean, you've got Helena, Great Falls, Missoula, Billings, Bozeman, Butte, Kalispell, Sydney, and Miles City. And you pack something individual for all those communities in this.
Well, the first thing I would say is that we benefit as much or more than the audience, because when we travel to these communities, we hear what's going on. There's so much that's missed. Just from reading the news, and that's not no slam on the news. There's more information there than could ever be put out. But in terms of what the audience can expect, well, I think what's really important to understand is what kind of things people like us pay attention to, because there are so many numbers out there floating around. I mean, you just open your paper, your web browser, or whatever any day, and there's always some story that's taking you off in some direction. And there's really some things that we pay attention to more than others. You may not agree with it. You may have different opinions, but I think it's valuable to know that when we ask the question, how is your economy doing? What kinds of things are we using to keep score? I think, you know, we've got quite a bit of experience in doing forecasts. We're not perfect, but we do try to take things apart and understand where the economies of all these communities and, of course, the state as a whole is going. So that's it's really the interpretation. There's only so many numbers you can digest, but you can call it a spin, you can call it analysis, but somehow we're drawing conclusions from all these numbers that we all swim in, and that process is a good one to pay attention to.
Patrick Barkey, Research Director, Jeff Michael, Director of the Bureau of Business and Economic Research. And Jeff, I'm going to kind of toss that to you and put it, you know, on your plate to start talking about the economy now. You know, what are, and as you come on board, you know, what are you paying attention to that we should pay attention to when we look at Montana's economy, Jeff?
Yeah, well, you know, one thing that I'm paying attention to is we've seen 3 or 4 years of really tremendous growth here in the Montana economy, where it's been outperforming expectations and outperforming the nation. And, you know, understanding some of the drivers of that, being some, you know, investment in new industries, as well as migration to into the state, which has created a lot of stress in the housing market. So that's another thing that people are paying close attention to, are the rising costs of homes and the difficulty of people are finding in buying a home, even at the same time that they're having no difficulty in finding a job, or low difficulty, I should say. You know, tracking, looking at some of the most recent data and seeing where things are changing a little bit. We've seen 2024 has been a little bit more difficult for some of the traditional resource-based industries. We've seen some job losses in things like mining and wood products, while we continue to see job gains in tourism-driven sectors like hospitality, as well as a robust construction industry that continues to see investment in residential and non-residential structures. So, you know, some industries are continuing stronger growth, but others are a little bit softer. And so we're seeing growth slow down a little bit from where it has been.
And Patrick, I want to have you talk about that as well, and especially in terms of as we look at Helena and Great Falls or Missoula, Billings, and even to, you know, Sydney and Miles City, they're not all growing at the same pace, so to speak. And so what kind of tools are there available for, you know, these communities to kind of embrace this growth in the right way?
Yeah, that's exactly the perspective we're taking, and you're certainly right. I think the relative speed of growth around the state both has some familiar stories and some surprises. The familiar story is that Bozeman is still growing very strongly. Flathead County has one of the strongest rates of in-migration in the state. Those two areas continue to do very well. On the more surprising end is continues to be Billings. Billings is doing well. Billings has had a speed up of growth, but they remain tied to the economy of the four-state region that many of the industries there serve, and particularly the sideways movements of the oil and gas industry and the coal industry and that area. So that's Billings is doing well, but it's not doing as well as the growth gazelles. And then there's lots and lots of other counties out there. One story that's a good news story has been what's going on in Butte. Butte Silverbow is now on a positive growth trajectory, which has not been the case for going on a couple decades. They've had some good years, some bad years, but they've been doing very well since the COVID downturn. I guess one thing I would say that's kind of emerging as a regional story, Tom, has been the impact of these big housing price increases that everyone knows about and Jeff mentioned is causing for the first time some migration out of the higher priced but nonetheless faster growing areas, some migration out of those areas into other adjacent or sometimes distant Montana counties. I think Butte Silverbow has benefited a little bit from that.
Oh, that's interesting. And I'm curious, I'm going to ask you, Director Michael, about this. Growth, as we noted, it's outpacing us in a lot of ways. So that's sort of a negative. But, how would we understand growth as we talk about some of these challenges here? Would you say it's a positive? I know, I'm not sure that there's an easy answer on this. Is it a positive? Is it a negative? Is it a wash? Is it a neutral sort of thing for us in a lot of ways?
Well, I tell you, growth is better than the alternative in economies and communities that were declining, and that creates a whole different set of challenges for areas. But, sometimes really rapid growth also creates disruption, and it can benefit some people more than others, certainly. The in-migration of growth has been, fantastic for real estate agents and certain, tourism businesses, and maybe less welcome if you're out trying to buy your first home.
Yeah.
So there are some changes there. It also doesn't go on these trends forever. We've seen recent data shows some decline in the level of population growth in Montana. So, the level of immigration has now dropped back down to the levels that we saw before the COVID pandemic. So that's, providing a little bit of relief, and other sources of population growth like natural increase are much lower than they were then. So, overall, in terms of population and new households, that level of growth is still growing, but has decreased a little bit, and with construction activity still strong, we'll incrementally be able to gain some ground on those shortages.
It's the 50th anniversary of this. Again, I'm very much encouraging folks, especially if you need to have good data on how things are happening in your area, your community, your state, and your industry. This Economic Outlook Seminar Series is a good one for that. It's coming to 9 cities in January. And runs through March. They'll also have a mid-year Economic Outlook Seminar Series, but this one focuses on Montana's future. As a matter of fact, what's the title? Robots Are Here to Steal Your Job... ... or Make It Way Better. How AI is Changing Work, Hiring, and the Quest for Happy Humans. That is Paul Gladen, Associate Vice President for Research and Economic Development at the University of Montana. He'll be joining us a bit later on, but he's the keynote speaker. And that's the title for this series. Jeff Michael is with us, Director of the Bureau of Business and Economic Research, and Patrick Barkey, Research Director, as we talk about. In fact, I'm going to go right into this kind of for these dates. I'll get those out there. Helena on the 28th. Great Falls on January 29th, that's a Wednesday, and then Missoula that Friday. So that first week is Helena, Great Falls, and Missoula. These are going to start at 8 o'clock in the morning. They'll wrap up at 1, and they'll serve lunch in there as well. And they go through the gamut here, the forest industry, the ag outlook, the tourism, recreation, healthcare. We're going to do that now, Jeff and Patrick, as we have time to do this. And then we'll get on to this AI thing, because I think that's fascinating. But, Jeff, you're going to start off kind of at around, 8 o'clock, 8:30, with the U.S. and Montana outlook. Give us some highlights off of that.
Sure. Some highlights off of that. So part of what we've seen is a little interesting relationship where Montana growth has just been expanding while the U.S. Faster than the U.S. growth. But, over the past year or so, we've actually seen for the first time since the pandemic where Montana growth slowed down a little bit relative to U.S. growth. Some of that is a declining immigration that we've talked about earlier as high prices sort of do what high prices do, which leads to less buying, less movement into areas with high prices. And we've also seen some challenges in some of the traditional industries in the state. Mining, natural resources, wood products of 2024 has been a little more challenging than some of the industries that have been fueled by population growth as well as increasing interest in tourism. So we'll break down some of those numbers a little bit. It's still overall a positive story for Montana, but a little bit slower growth than we've grown accustomed to in recent years, and looking at a little bit slower growth in 2025 than we've seen in recent years.
Go back to 2024, Patrick, and then as much as is necessary here, and then look at 2025. Tell us what this healthcare outlook is going to be.
Well, healthcare is an industry that appears to be getting back to normal, but has some extraordinary pressures. Getting back to normal in the sense that the healthcare industry is growing again. People are not worried to go to hospitals and not worried for in-person visits and so forth. All those things that were disrupted by COVID. What's going on under the surface, though, is some extraordinary financial pressures with hospitals that are facing some big-time cost growth. And it's estimated, for example, that half of rural hospitals in the country are losing money. We don't know for a fact, but we suspect in Montana that could be even worse. And the larger hospitals are under extraordinary pressure as well. The Medicaid question is staring us in the face in terms of whether that expansion is renewed. The legislature will take that up. And also, finally, the elephant in the room no one's talking about is a national issue, but it has massive implications for Montana, and that is the financial sustainability of Medicare, which people go on as if it's carved in stone, that it'll always be there, but in fact it has extraordinary challenges.
Thank you for that. I mean, that is something I know the state is kind of wrestling with as well when you talk about Medicaid reauthorization. But, government's place in healthcare, I think, still needs to be waded through a little bit. Melissa Waddell, I hope I'm saying that right. She's director of the Institute for Tourism and Recreation Research. She'll be at this Economic Outlook series as well to talk about tourism and recreation. I'm going to throw that back to you, Jeff Michael, director of the Bureau of Business and Economic Research. Give us a highlight or something that stands out for you when you look at Montana's tourism and recreation industry.
Yeah, Melissa will have more information on that. I think she'll be sharing some record visitation numbers that we're seeing in 2024, amongst other news. So it continues to be a growth sector. We're seeing that these sectors are leading employment growth in the state. Hospitality sectors continues to add employment, and we continue to attract visitors. And not just the national parks, particularly Glacier, just hit really big numbers last year. Some of that may have been helped by a nice warm fall that extended the season, visitation season a bit. But it continues to be an attractive area. We're also seeing that spill over into other areas and seeing growth in tourism around the state. So it's an important area of employment and business, and it continues to do well.
I'm going to throw these two your way, Patrick. Joel Schumacher, Extension Specialist, Montana State University, will be there to talk about the ag outlook. And then Samuel Scott, who's with the BBER, Forest Economist, will talk about the forest industry. Why don't you, if you could, give us the outlook for both of those industries, ag and forest.
Well, I'll throw a few tidbits out there.
Yeah.
I think in terms of on the ag side, first off, it's always entertaining getting a University of Montana person to talk about ag, right? So your audience will enjoy these comments. But what the heck, I'm an economist. I can track prices like anyone else, and grain prices are trending down and calf prices are trending high. And that's been, that's the story most of your audience probably already knows about. But the broader audience doesn't understand the issues in ag, the issues with the aging of the ranching community in terms of the who's going to take over those ranches. There's always issues going on with the farm bill. There's issues that have to do with the thinning of herds that occurred during the drought years, and how Montana is unfortunately not in the best position to take advantage of some of these high calf prices because of our herd size is down a little bit. So I think those are some big issues. There's some individual stories going on with irrigation, with water use. I mean, it's a active area. On the wood product side, has been the story that most Montanans don't know about is how important the wood products industry remains in Montana. Mm-hmm. And in particular, how it's connected to the management of forest lands. We've seen the unfortunate spectacle and catastrophe of what's happening in L.A., which is a completely world away from Montana, except in the sense that it underscores how important, as most Montanans who live in the woods know, how important it is to manage forest land and how a vibrant forest products industry, which we still have in Montana, despite our setbacks, remains extremely important for that, and all important task of keeping our lands managed and avoiding the kind of disastrous situation we've unfortunately seen in California recently.
That's Patrick Barkey again, and also Jeff Michael is with us. We're going to introduce Paul Gladen. He's Associate Vice President for Research and Economic Development, and talk about AI. His title, he's the keynote speaker here. It's Robots Are Here to Steal Your Job, ... or make it way better. I think we know that. But how is the public going to embrace artificial intelligence, and how is the business community going to embrace that? So are robots really here to steal your job? Does it make you a little nervous about that? Are you looking at your job going, oh my gosh, AI. The AI can do this job better than I can. How are we going to employ AI into our workforce? That's one of the questions. Are they here to steal your job or make it way better? It can do that in a heartbeat as well. How is AI changing work, hiring, and the quest for happy humans? That's the keynote address, the title of it anyway, for Paul Gladen, who's joining us now as we welcome you back here from Montana for Montana. It's Voices of Montana. Jeff Michael is with us, director of the Bureau of Business and Economic Research, and Patrick Barkey, a research director there as well, a previous director as well. Jeff Michael on board now since October. And then Paul Gladen joining us, Associate Vice President for Research and Economic Development, also director of Accelerate Montana, and that's UM's portfolio of economic and workforce development programs. And welcome, Paul. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the invitation. Good to be with you.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Folks will recognize an accent there, originally from England, as Paul studied from Oxford and the Manchester Business School, where he got his MBA as well. And Patrick and Jeff, you guys just chime in here as well on these questions. But I'm going to open it up to you, Paul, and thanks for being here again. Robots, are they going to steal our job? Are they going to make it way better? What's the verdict on that? We don't know yet, huh?
I think that in some ways is probably the best place to start. Is like, I don't think even the people that would say they are deep, deep experts in the AI field will say they really understand where this is going. But I think there are some things we can kind of identify that that both of those things are true. Robots may take some jobs, but many jobs will, I think, in many ways, be actually more rewarding and enjoyable for folks. We have the potential to take perhaps a little bit of the kind of the drudgery out of some jobs. So I think it's AI is so pervasive in terms of its potential use, Tom, that that I think there are lots of different ways and kind of outcomes that people might see depending on what kind of job they're in, what kind of industry they're in.
Yeah, I've seen AI, and you know, we're starting to use it more on a casual kind of basis. I'm starting to see it in a lot more places. In a short time, I think you can see the potential there as well. And businesses, I don't think they have a choice, right, Paul, in terms of having to look at labor costs as a part of their business model. AI provides them a lot of opportunities too.
No, I completely agree. I don't think this is a moment to sort of ignore it or hope it's going to go away. I think, and I think we can learn a lot from what we've seen with sort of technologies in the past, whether you go back to the Industrial Revolution or really sort of the emergence of computing and the internet. I mean, some of us are old enough, Tom, to remember kind of when we didn't have computers at work and we didn't have the internet. And people making similar sort of predictions that, oh my goodness, all these jobs are going to go away. And in effect, we actually created new jobs and were able to do a lot of new things that we couldn't do before. So I think there's huge opportunity here to explore what AI can do. And one of the things I will always say about kind of technology is just a tool. It can be a very powerful tool. But it's a tool, and we have the choice to decide how we might want to use that. And I think that's really what I would sort of encourage business owners and executives and people in any job to say, how might we use this, right? How could this improve my job? How could this improve our business? People talk about AI. I like to sort of term it as almost sort of accelerated innovation. How can we think about kind of changing our business for the better? How can we better serve our customers? How can we be more efficient? How can we make our jobs more kind of engaging and rewarding for our employees?
Yeah, and I like that. I mean, you got to think these things in to your business model. I asked a question, or I said I was going to ask the question of Jeff and Patrick, and I'm going to do that now. It's kind of that one word association game. And you can maybe comment on that, Paul, if you would. Director Michael, and it's the question, it's just looking for one word or, two words. You're an economist. That might be very hard. What will AI do for the Montana economy, Jeff, in one word, if you can?
Productivity.
And Patrick, what's your one word?
That's my word.
That's it? Is that right? Yeah.
Well, I think it's creation. All right. Creation of knowledge creation is what the AI is doing. What the Industrial Revolution did for physical processes, AI is doing for the creation of knowledge.
Yeah. So Paul, take those two words and unpack them for us. Yeah.
No, I love that. I think for any business person, when you those of us that are old enough to remember kind of the dot-com boom, Tom, there were sort of people predicting if we've sort of broken the rules of business, right? And like, we've got these amazing valuations on these businesses that don't have any revenues yet. And then we eventually realized that, nope, the fundamentals of business economics haven't gone away, right? You've got to stay in your revenues and you've got to be efficient. So I agree with kind of Jeff. It is about productivity. How can a business be more efficient and effective? But also, to Pat's point, from a sort of creativity and innovation perspective, what can we do that's new and different? What does this enable us to do in terms of launching new products or services or serving our customers in different ways or collaborating with other organizations effectively? You've got to be focused on both the top line and kind of the bottom line from a sort of cost perspective. So, yeah, I think those are both powerful words for for any business, any employer to be looking at and saying, gee, how do we, how can we use AI to be creative, to be innovative in our business, and how can we use it to be more productive?
One of the concerns I think that folks have had is the tremendous amount of energy that artificial intelligence takes. And there's going to be an update on our energy investment. Brian Bird, CEO of Northwestern Energy, will be a part of this economic seminar series in various communities. And I'll get to that in just a bit here. Are we going to have enough energy? I mean, I heard a lot of it last week when I went up to the state capitol. A lot of businesses were concerned, and it was a huge focus on energy. Is that rightly placed?
No, I think that is a legitimate concern. I mean, I hear it from kind of members of my team as we're exploring how AI kind of might support our work at Accelerate Montana. So I think it's definitely it's a clear fact that that AI is a substantial energy user. So I think those are concerns we've got to address. And I think each business will make its own decision, right, around kind of what is that balance in terms of, as we know, environmental sustainability is an important issue for a lot of businesses, for a lot of customers. So businesses will want to think through how does AI play into their strategy. But also there are clearly some instances good application of AI include things like sort of logistics planning and kind of an operational planning that potentially can help those businesses be more efficient too. So it's not solely a one-way conversation.
What will businesses need to consider in terms of hiring now?
So I think this is a really interesting question, Tom. It's something we've been doing a lot in the workforce arena at Accelerate over the last 3 or 4 years across Montana. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're really seeing is we continue to see, and this is sort of a national issue, right, a shortage of skilled workers, which is changing the way in which we think about sort of recruiting and retaining employees, and is really drilling into, we've really got to understand what are the skills we need as an employer and what are the skills that our existing workforce has. And AI, interestingly, is going to sort of both add a new dimension to that, which is, what are the AI skills that our workforce might need? But also, actually, how can AI help us think through that problem? So this is work we're actually going to be working with a couple of technology vendors kind of in the next few months here in Montana and with a handful of employers to really understand how can we use AI tools to help employers get a better understanding of what are the skills that they need inside their organization. So let me sort of just take a step back for a moment here, Tom, and sort of think about how sort of businesses recruit kind of folks today. And we've all done this. We've sort of, hey, we need to fill this particular position in our organization. And we kind of dust off the job description from last time around. And maybe we update a couple of things on it. And then we maybe post it on a recruiting platform. And a bunch of people sort of submit their resumes and kind of their cover letters. And then maybe the sort of the recruitment platform uses some algorithms to figure out who it thinks might be a good fit. And then we do some interviews, and then we sort of hope it works out. And a lot of that is sort of, it's quite fuzzy, and it's becoming problematic now because AI is actually helping people write their resumes and write their cover letters to make them sound like they are the perfect fit for the job.
I know.
There are stories going around of people showing up for their jobs that actually are just not qualified at all to do that. So AI is sort of changing the way we need to think about sort of our traditional approach to hiring people and understanding what their skills are. And AI is actually giving us some tools that can make that kind of work much faster. Because if you ask somebody today to do a really rigorous kind of description of the skills that are needed in your job, Tom, or in my job, it would take someone several hours, if not a couple of days, to really do that accurately. There are platforms and data sets out there that can now do that super, super fast.
Yeah.
And then we can do the same thing for individuals to take their kind of their background, their education and training qualifications, their work experience, and do a similar job on their skill set. And then we can look at essentially matching that. So both individually, how do the skills that someone has match the skills they need to do the job, and what are the gaps, but also across the organization as a whole. So maybe we're seeing, well, actually, we thought we needed someone to fill a role, but actually we've got someone on our team who has some skills we've not really recognized before. So maybe if we adjusted our kind of job descriptions a little, we could better align our skills. Mm. And this stuff, I think, is sort of exciting, but I think it's also super important for Montana, Tom, because Montana, I think, is pretty much, and kind of Jeff or Pat could confirm this for me, that has pretty much the smallest average firm size of any state in the U.S., and I think it's around six. We got a lot of really small businesses in Montana, and I think it's something that makes us a kind of a great place to live, right? To have these kind of local businesses that we can interact with. But when you're a small business, and I've been a small business owner, finding time to really be super focused on your recruiting and on your kind of talent development inside your organization, that takes a lot of work, and a lot of small businesses don't always have the time, not always the expertise to do that. So I think this is a really interesting opportunity for businesses in Montana to use AI to really kind of supercharge that kind of talent management question, to say, what are the skills we need inside our organization? What are the skills we have today? And then how can we close those gaps? And then the one other thing I'll say to add into this sort of kind of discussion is AI is also changing the way we think about kind of educating and training and teaching people. So it's potentially going to change the way we think about how we close those skills gaps. So those are some things that we're really sort of thinking about quite actively and engaging with technology vendors and with other experts in the workforce development space kind of on a national basis, to say, how can we bring AI to better support our workforce, and recognizing in that process that AI is going to change the nature of the work. So we're, one, going to need to train people on AI, but it's also going to take, as we talked about, it's going to take some things out of their job and require them to do some new things, or maybe to do some other things in a more, in many ways, in a more advanced and sophisticated way. So how do we upskill people to do that?
That's Paul Gladen. He's Associate Vice President for Research and Economic Development at the University of Montana, BBER, and keynote speaker for the Economic Outlook Seminar Series. Try to get to this here in a hurry. EconomicOutlookSeminar.com is the place for more information on this. Nine of these. It starts in Helena Tuesday, January 28th at the Great Northern, then Great Falls on the 29th, Hilton Garden Inn, Missoula Hilton Garden on the 31st. They all start at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they go through about 1 o'clock. They'll serve lunch. Registration is just $99, includes lunch, and a lot of great information as well. A lot of good networking contacts here, too. So then it begins the 4th, February 4th in Billings, and the 5th in Bozeman, and Butte will be Thursday, February 6th. The next week, it's the February 11th in Kalispell. And then it will go to March 11th in Sydney, March 12th in Miles City. And Paul Gladen, thank you so much for being alongside here. Keynote speaker there. I'm very interested in learning more about this, and I know we'll do that as we go along. Jeff Michael, though, the new director for the Bureau of Business and Economic Research, put a wrap on this in 30 seconds if you can.
Sure. I just want to encourage all your listeners to go to economicoutlookseminar.com. That's where you'll see that schedule. We will be in a community near you in the coming months and bringing a tremendous amount of information, two print publications packed full of data and insight on current trends in the Montana economy, as well as things are going where they're headed in 2025. Paul will be there to share some insights on AI in the future, as well as a lot of our other experts will be weighing in on that in their individual sectors.
Great job. Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.